روح روحي وروحي روح. His soul is my soul, and my soul his soul. And we are brought further to the fifth stage, announced by the words, who form the embodiment of the Master. Embodiment of mastery. The accommodating of that accommodation that Akash, wherein the heart conceives its world as an instrument of the divine glance of beneficence. As the verse of scripture goes, the glances do not reach God, God reaches the glances. And with the turning from the minor work to the major work, the glance turns inward and outward again, discovering now the divine glance working through your gaze. Yes, your eyes are the organs of physical sight, but to speak of the glance is really to speak of that field of perception whereby we englobe the world and thereby make a world of the world. From each gaze a world is born. And the world itself is nothing but the accumulation, the succession of glances mutually interpenetrating. None entirely alike. Yes, brought into rapport through sympathy, but no two visions the same. And we bear a certain responsibility for our world. World of what we make of the divine gaze shining through our eyes, shining through our heart, whether that gaze is eclipsed, blunted, wrapped up in hazy broodings, overcast by self-centered appetites and ambitions and fears, or whether it's a bright plane, a transparency infused with the creativity of the perpetual descent of divine forms, divine ideas, descending into materiality through minds that are attuned and receptive and luminous. This descent of tajalliyat, of renewed creation, is perpetual. But insofar as our minds are tangled up and lost in the impressions of a past seen darkly, there's not much scope to channel the splendor continuously given anew. Kulli yom min huwa fi shan, every day a new splendor. It requires of us a certain act of will, to align our will, to yoke our will to the divine will, yoke our agency to the divine creativity. After all, that's the root of the word yoga. It's the ultimate yoga, yoking the ephemeral to the eternal. As a vessel, as instrument, each of us is making a world through what we perceive, but more importantly through our assimilation of what we perceive, what we make of it. Jesus was passing along with some disciples and came to the carcass of a dog that was rotting. And the disciples all turned aside in disgust. And Jesus looked intently and said, "What beautiful teeth. Bumblebee makes a world, skipping from bloom to bloom, drinking in the nectar and assimilating it to produce the elixir known as honey, which is a balm, a healing balm to the nations. To make honey of this world, to make a world of the world, to extract what is healing, what is sweet, what nourishes, what lives on when the blossoms crumble. So the world we make is the world of our attention. Where do we turn our attention? What connections does the attention make? What does our presence hold? If one is narrowly self-involved, self-concerned, one has very little scope of attention for other human beings, animals, plants, the sky, the river. One's whole concern is utilitarian, to maximize one's personal advantage, but an advantage that is so fleeting as to be negligible in the ultimate reckoning. All the while overlooking the treasure that is already bestowed moment by moment. So the embodiment of the master is the containment of the heart. And as the sacred tradition goes, in God's voice, I am contained in no thing, but I am contained in the heart of the sincere worshipper who loves me. The heart can expand infinitely. The heart is like the seed of the fruit of the tree. The tree sends out its branches, its leaves, its flowers, and fruit ripen. And every part of the tree has its place. But what is contained in the fruit? The seed in which the whole of the tree is encapsulated in miniature, from which a new tree may be born. So the heart is the fruit of the universe, the tree of the divine self-manifestation. This whole universe has so unfolded itself as to produce and to ripen this fruit, which contains just a speck, the heart. But that speck contains wonders, a new universe, which is to say the universe, the heart makes its universe in its encounter with this universe. It uploads what it witnesses, what it distills, what it sublimates. And that is the work of consciousness itself. When one knows the nature and true purpose of consciousness, then when one will choose to use one's mind wisely, whatever thought you come back to again and again, you're building every time. Every recurrence of the thought is the laying of another stone in an edifice that is being built up into the sky. And our hearts do encompass one another insofar as there is affinity, insofar as there is sympathy. There is a contact, and that contact is really the internalization of that life into yours. The internalization of your life into another's. A mingling of souls carried out through minds in their mutual contemplations. So we are right to ask ourselves, how do others live in us? They might live so profoundly that we would say with Halaj, Ruhu Ruhi, Ruhi Ruhu. This soul is my own is his or hers. That is the intensity of a deep devotion. When one enters into the space of one's heart, one finds, you might say, concentric circles of connectedness with creation, with beings, fellow travelers through time and space. There are those most proximate ones for whom one would be willing, perhaps, to lay down one's life. Faces somewhat at a remove, somewhat at the distance, receding out to the distance where the faces are not clearly visible, but one is aware of strangers who are nonetheless not really strange. There is in the beneficence that flows through every human soul, a recognition even of the unknown other as another self. The villagers on the other side of the world, on whom bombs are raining down. One doesn't know their names, and yet one knows their humanity. Their soul is kindred. One is ready to know them, to pray, to protect, if one could. Now, insofar as that disposition, that natural predisposition of benevolence is sustained and nourished and not overwhelmed by those fears and disappointments and withdrawals into narrowness that overwhelm and darken the mind if one is not careful. Insofar as the mind is kept in accord with the heart, and the heart in accord with the soul, and the soul in accord with God, then heart is a continuously expanding capacity, greeting and merging into all that it encounters. And this is the practice of those who follow in the footsteps of the friends of God. The practice of friendliness, which is effectuated through that discipline called tawajjuh, meaning turning your wajh, your inner face, toward the inner face of those who occupy the sphere of one's heart. That alignment of faces, face meaning here one's very being, insofar as it is given by the one being. This harmonizing, this inward meeting, this is the work of the fifth alchemical station under the sign of Mars. Why Mars? Mars is adamant, militant even, diligent, focused, sworn to this sacred duty, which is ubuddhya, which is servanthood. Chivalry comes in here. Venus brings in color, the silver of the moon is reddened with lifeblood, with eshk, turning to copper. Now copper, under the sign of Mars, becomes iron. The container of the heart is congealed, crystallized. Not wavering, not vague, not hazy, but vivid with mental clarity. Focused in intention. Deliberate with a view to the service to be rendered. Which is an act of transparency to what is given from within. So now when you're conscious of the radiance that wells up through the chest, streaming out of that radiance, you could think of how the sun is a fiery sphere, burning orb. But the light of the sun flows, outpours in gushes, filling the solar system, immersing the planets so that Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter. Neptune, Saturn, all the planets, Pluto, are awash in the photosphere of the sun, swirling within it, swimming within it. So now, shift your attention from that light surfacing from the implicate order, emanating through the center of the chest. Shift your attention from its eruption to the photosphere itself, the full dimensions of its expanse, which is to say the contours of all that it lights up, which is to say everything of which you are aware. Everything of which you are aware in the spirit of this turning of your inner face to the inner face of all that you encounter. Within the space of benevolence. It's impossible to actually contemplate anything, to engage psychically anything without an underlying predisposition of benevolence, benevolence which entails interest, which entails engagement, that benevolence which is the outpouring of the divine Rahma, the generative devotedness to manifestation. Insofar as that luminous devotedness lights up one's gaze, clarity ensues. Proximity, resonance, mutuality, the music of life. So each of us is making a music, and that music is constituted by the photosphere of the heart. So our attention is now not so much on the eruption of the radiance, but the landscape of faces, presences, continuities. Every act of attention is a stitch in the embroidery of the tapestry of your heart's knowledge of the universe, which makes a world. We visualize the crescent. We visualize the star. Now we attend to the akash, the accommodation within which both star and crescent function, which is the heart itself. Vaster than the body, but centered here, right in the core, right in one's chest, centered here, but sprawling out to accommodate every witnessed moment. We are in a world, the heart's world, which will persist even after the body decomposes and even the mind as we know it fades out. The mind is the distillery, but when the perfume is secured, it survives even when the apparatus that made it collapses. So within this perfume that is the extraction, the sublimated presence of all that one has known and knows now. One knows beings, presences, not purely through sensory contact. Someone whom one loves might not be here, but somewhere else on the earth. But you can meet him, meet her, irrespective of geographical distance, irrespective of the spatial position of bodies, because you are known to one another. And even if the other no longer possesses a body in this universe, still, there is that knowing, there is that rapport, and that communion through the heart. So with this recognition now, could turn your face, your inner face, toward the face of one toward whom you genuinely and acutely feel love. Awaken that love into view, actualize it. While sending forth a breeze, a zephyr, a glance which is a prayer. Prayer of goodwill that bespeaks this love, the lifting up of it toward the eternal. Face to face. Intoning each at our own rhythm and pitch the word of blessing, that is given particularly for tawajjuh. That word being fazl. F-A-Z-L. Let the buzz, the drone of the word, vibrating, resonating, carry the intention, carry the tawajjuh, the prayer of blessing, the activation of the love element. Fazl, fazl. You could let this face recede again without, of course, in any way severing the link. It's just like what we've cultivated with respect to the limbs of the subtle body that we awaken imaginatively, and we turn our attention to another subject, but maintain the sense of the limb. Maintain the sense of the presence of this soul within your heart sphere. But now, turn toward another face. It could be someone one personally knows very well. It could be someone that one is not so well acquainted with, but someone that one is aware is undergoing some suffering, some hardship, loss, pain. Someone that does live within one's heart sphere, and one is aware that while the soul in itself, in its essence, is free of all constraint, but that soul in its embodiment, in a heart, in a mind, in a body, is at this time beleaguered, weighed down, and since there is a link between you, since there is this contact, you feel it, and that pain in some way is also yours. You don't have to take it on as a weight, but you do live in the awareness of it with the prayer, the wish of healing, of alleviation. Keeping that prayer alive, and now in this moment, sending it forth, actualizing the prayer, the acute, sincere, heartful wish. For ease, but knowing that ease is not yet here, you enter into solidarity with all that the soul is going through. Solidarity with the soul in all that it is going through. Once again, intoning Fuzzle. Fuzzle. And likewise, let this presence too recede, not to be forgotten. And another face emerges now. Let it be one who one knows to be enjoying a state of grace, perhaps a new beginning. A spell of joy. In celebration, someone in whom you see happiness rising. You meet his glance, you meet her glance in the space of that happiness. Sharing in it, finding joy in the other's joy, delighting in it, sprinkling rose petals upon it, blessing it. And again, our intonation is fuzzle. Fuzzle. Oh. 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 this presence too recedes, but does not vanish. And a fourth approaches, or you approach him or her, face to face, glance to glance, one who lives in you, whom you meet now beyond the binary opposition of sadness and happiness, beyond the tumult of worldly conditions and changes, beyond all accidents of fate, soul to soul, essence to essence, in the communion of that tranquility, that simplicity, that union that pervades all being and subsumes all minds, even when they are unaware of it and flailing, the deep current of primal ease and effortless oneness, the one you see before you, you meet him, you meet her there, with the prayer of the superabundance and perpetuity of this constant unison. This figure, this presence too, recedes, rejoining the spiral of presences circling around. The whole congregation of the temple of the heart. All the illuminated, lit up by the light of which your kindled psyche is the lamp. Or imagine your heart as a bubble floating amongst innumerable bubbles, but bubbles that do not so much deflect one another as pervade one another, saturate one another, sphere upon sphere upon sphere. What you call yourself is this patch. What is your universe is this patch of the universe through which the angle of vision that is your body, mind, heart, and soul. Recognizes like a cloud at night lit up by streaks of lightning, one after another, illuminating this patch, now that patch of the cloudy sky. But the clouds are all one vaporous swirl. We give ourselves over to our participation in the teeming manifold multiverse of being through the action of an awakening heart sphere. As we listen, if we could now, to the voice of Zuleika singing Om Mani Padme Hum. Ya Salaam, singing Ya Salaam.
Ya Salaam.
And when you're ready, shall we open our eyes? And bless our evening meal. O thou, the sustainer of our bodies, hearts, and souls, bless all that we receive in thankfulness.